So as Tyler said, there is opportunity to be a part of that this summer. And honestly, you don't really have to do anything. Just show up at the park and be willing to have conversations with somebody. What our hope is that music is a way to kind of bridge that gap. But our prayer is, and I do want to pray about that before we get into the word. I do want to pray that God would just give us opportunities to talk with people. It's as easy as somebody sharing a situation that they're going through in their life, and you just saying, hey, do you mind if I pray about that for you or with you or whatever? The goal is that these kinds of things would lead to some gospel conversations. And as Tyler said, he can use help, just set up or tear down, or just be there and mingle with people. The two things I do really well is drink coffee and talk. And so I go to the coffee house and that's all I do. So I'm helping out in that way. Something else happened in this summer. I'm going to do a video, maybe not this week because I got a lot going on this week, maybe when I get back in June, just about some of the things we're doing this summer that are going to be different than other summers and why we're doing them and the purpose behind them. Some of it has to do with worship. July, we're going to do a 10 o'clock service. Summer schedule begins next week. If you're not been a part of Grace Church over the summer, we don't have Sunday School Connection Group in between services, and so we start a little bit earlier in the summer. If you're new to Grace Church, you've also maybe noticed that we have natural air conditioning. That's the windows. So if it gets hot, you're going to sweat a little bit. But we try and do it a little bit earlier. That starts next Sunday. Next Sunday, you should be here at 10 o'clock, not 10:45. That begins our summer schedule. And so I do want to share with you some of the things we're doing over the summer and why we're doing them. July, we're actually going to be doing one service at 10 o'clock. There won't be an early service. There'll just be one service. So you don't have to remember anything other than show up at 10 o'clock like you do right now. And we're going to talk about what that means and what that looks like. The other thing is we have teachers that do a lot all summer long. And so this summer, we're doing something a little different again. As far as our Simply Loved ministry, Simply Loved is something that happens during the worship service. Like right now, your children are back with a bunch of teachers, giving them a Bible story, craft, snacks at their level. So what we're going to do this summer is actually have the students, the kids with us in the beginning part of worship. When the worship team is up here and we're doing all of our singing and stuff like that, your child is going to be with you. That way we give teachers a little bit of a break. We're going to be talking about children's ministry this summer as well. Just some of the challenges that we face. But one of the things that we do want to recognize too, and maybe this was you when I was a kid, there was no such thing as Simply Loved. You sat in church and you just listen to the boring pastor drone on and on. And so now we want your kids to suffer through that just like I had to suffer through that. But now I'm the one droning on and on and on. But we do want you to experience family worship, and summer feels like a good time to do that. We know people are on vacation doing different things. Teachers are doing different things. So beginning next Sunday, we're going to start all together. Your children will be with you. If that's hard for them, you can hang out in the nursery or you can actually hang out back in the classroom with your child. But we're going to start here to hopefully get them to be a part of the beginning part of worship service and then go get something on their level as far as a Bible story is concerned. So that's next Sunday, which is May 26th. That's the unofficial start to summer. I know it's been like the weather has not felt like summer. It's rained every weekend for the last 57 years, it feels like, anyway. So next Sunday, unofficial start to summer, Memorial Day weekend, family worship begins where you're here with your child, and then they will be dismissed to go back to Simply Loved for a Bible lesson on their level. We're going to do that through the summer, and then we're going to be talking about how we're trying to be very purposeful with our summer worship as we continue to think about being disciples, who make disciples. I told you this isn't just like a nice emphasis I'm doing. This is what God, I think, wants me to give the rest of my life to, of making sure we are doing that as a church. And I'm using that same thing with the global ministries. The director that I am for the global ministries with our denomination, I'm thinking the same way. This is the way God wants us to go, and so we're trying to be purposeful in how we do that. So that happens beginning next Sunday. So if you see Jess, you can tell her I read the sticky note that she gave me. I didn't forget because I kept on forgetting, but that is next Sunday. Your child will start with you, and then they'll be dismissed to go to Simply Loved. The other thing that we're doing this summer, like we've always done, but we really want you to be praying about this, is our Vacation Bible School. If you remember when Annette Halapiric was up here and she shared about Child Evangelism Fellowship, she does a Good News Club over in Schuylkill Haven Elementary School, and she said over half of the students there, I think she had her largest group would have like 30, over half of those children have no church affiliation. They're not going to church anywhere. They're not learning what we've learned maybe growing up or what your child's learning growing up. Vacation Bible School is one of the ways we try and share the love of Jesus that Tyler was talking about with children. To start them off, introducing them to who this Jesus is, and hopefully sending them down a right track. All of that happens through us committing all this stuff to prayer. And so I know the summer is pretty sporadic. People are on vacations, different things happening, sports happening. Like my whole family's not here. Other families aren't here because of dance recital. So I've already been told, Ted, do not go long. You have got to get in the car and you have to drive the Kutz down for dance recital. So that is, you don't know how big of a task that is for me to actually do that. But they're not here because they're at dance recital. I know how it works and happens, but we do want to use this summer. And I'm going to be talking about prayer a lot this summer because I think it's essential, if, as Tyler used the word we love in the church world, which is revival. That just means people on fire for Jesus. If that's actually going to happen, it's going to be because we actually start praying way more than we are now. And maybe you're praying a lot, but we're going to pray even more than that. So if you could start doing that now for Vacation Bible School, that is the Monday after Father's Day. So I can't remember what the date is. Carol? June 17th through the 20th is our Vacation Bible School. If you can be praying about that, we would really appreciate that as we try and introduce kids to Jesus. So let's do that right now together before we get into the Word. God, what a great day it is to come together and be found here in this building. We happen to call it a church, but we know the church is not the building. It's all of us. And I do appreciate the community of faith that is here, whether you're here in the first service, second service, connection group, helping out with a yard sale, serving on a commission, being a part of a Bible study or life group, Lord, the community is all of it. And God, I'm grateful for it, and just, God, that you have built into what you're doing in this world, this thing we call the church that gives us brothers and sisters, spiritual moms and dads to help us be a disciple who makes disciples. Lord, I'm thankful too that we have this beautiful thing we call music that we get to do a lot together, and that Tyler's using to be out in our community and bridge those conversations with music. It's a powerful thing. Lord, we love doing it. I love coming, and even though I'm a terrible singer, Lord, that's not what you're worried about. We're just coming to praise you, to praise the Lord for our gratitude of all that you're doing, Lord. We get it. We don't deserve it. God, we didn't earn it. It's all because of your grace, this amazing grace that is able to break chains. Lord, whatever chains that bind us, you are able to break that. Lord, that's really what we're trying to take into our community. Thank you for the people that helped out with the yard sale, and just every little bit helps to keep Grace Church going and keep our facility being upgraded and getting it prepared and ready for the next generation of TJs who are singing out of microphone at a coffee and worship, Lord. We want to be able to do this for generation and generation until Jesus, you come back. So thank you for people's willingness and the hard work that they put into doing that, Lord. I know they sacrificed time and energy for sure, and I appreciate that, Lord, for what's been happening at Cake Pros. Thank you for this business that loves you, Lord, and just looks for ways to shine Jesus's light in the community. Thanks for everybody that's been a part of that, for Tyler and Tristan and Dawn and Jody and Dave who's helped, and the people that put it all together. God, we pray over the summer worship and the fact that we'll be in the park and we'll have opportunity to talk to more people, reach more people. God, help us to do that. Help us to do that with compassion and love, but with boldness and courage, Lord, to be able to just step out and start a conversation and say, hey, how can I pray for you? It's that easy, Lord. Who knows what you can do with that? And so we pray over that. Lord, we pray, too, for Vacation Bible School. It is a lot of work. It's a lot of fun, but it's, I believe, really important because we're going to be talking to children who don't know you, Lord. And so I pray that you would already begin preparing hearts for the conversations, the stories, the songs, all the things that will happen during Vacation Bible School. Lord, we do want to see a change in our community. God, a change in our families. We know that that starts in us and you doing that revival in us, and that just spreads everywhere else, Lord. And we know that that happens through bathing it all in prayer, Lord. And so we just bring it all before you now. Thank you for this church family, the ways that people try and stay connected. God, even things like trying to do live stream for people who can't be here can still feel like they're a part of this. I appreciate those guys just working hard to do all that, Lord. And all of it matters, Lord. You use all of it. And I just pray that it would just continue to help us be more faithful to you. Help us be disciples who make disciples. And Lord, as we end things this morning in this sermon series, Lord, I just pray that you would just open hearts and minds. God, may you just prepare the soil of that heart to hear your word, and may the seed be planted, and may you produce fruit as a result of it. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So stay tuned for some more of that information. As I said, this sermon series talking about the soils was kind of laying some groundwork for where we want to go. And I was challenged the other week, I think I shared when I was in Chicago, about what are you willing to give your life to? And so this is kind of what I wrote down and handed out to some people to start praying about, that this is really what I want to give my life to, because I think it's that important in the kind of change we want to see. I'm a news junkie, so I follow it. I told you I was fasting from getting my news on my phone, just not looking at it at all because it was too distracting. And I do want to see a change in this town, in our state, in our country. But I know that doesn't come. It's not that I'm not going to vote, but I know it doesn't come in whoever I vote for. It comes because all of us are doing what God's called us to do. And because we're willing to share that with a lot of people that need to hear it, people's lives start changing. And so what Jesus' expectation is for his church is that we would be disciples that are producing disciples. And that happens when we are planting seeds on fertile soil. We don't know that person's soil. That's up to the Holy Spirit to be working on that. But you ought to be cultivating your own. And so really the parable of the soils is Jesus looking for us to respond to him. And I've challenged us each week to be able to do that. And this is the final week. We're at the one we've all been waiting for, the good soil. What does that look like? And what does it mean to produce fruit? So if we talked about what a parable is, why Jesus used it, and we talked about the three other soils. If you missed all that, we do have it recorded. You can see it. And listen to it on your own. But we want to end things with this parable. I'm going to read the parable again. We're going to kind of briefly go through the things I talked about so that we can get to the good soil. And I want to be as specific as possible with this good soil and really try to give you application on what good soil looks like. Because that's what we're after. That's what Jesus is trying to do. And as disciples of Jesus who are willing to deny themselves, pick up their cross and follow him, this is what we ought to be about. And so here's how Jesus begins with his parable. Remember, there's crowds all around him. He's been healing people. He's been casting out demons. He's been talking about the kingdom. He's been saying things like, repent, for the kingdom of God is near, and I'm bringing it. And so now we're in chapter 4. There's these huge crowds, and Jesus says this parable in preparation for what the disciples are going to do, because he's going to send them out. He's not going to wait too long before he actually sends the disciples out to do ministry. And he says this, listen, a farmer went out and to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and they ate it up. Some of that seed fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear any grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, it grew, produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. So we talked about that whole thing, and Jesus said, at the end of this whole thing, those who have ears, let them hear. That he could probably say that after every single one of his teachings, because you can either hear it and it mean nothing to you, or you can hear it, ponder it, kind of one ear out the other, and life gets busy, you get distracted and doesn't do anything, or you can hear it and start applying it to your life. That's true of anything Jesus has said. That's true of anything that we read, that we hear. And he ends it, I think, with a very important statement, because this can tell what the soil looks like, what the heart, the soil of my heart looks like. Those who have ears, let them hear. And so what we're looking to do is be that good soil that produces a crop, some multiplying 30, 60, 100. Now that word crop, we think, as we're thinking of a farmer sowing seed, we might be thinking of wheat. He sows it, it roots, it grows, and then there's other seed on that stalk. And then it produces this crop, where that one stalk produces 30 seeds. But that same word, and here's how I want us to think about it, because this is how it is used in other places in the Gospels, and a whole lot in the Gospel of Matthew, that can also be translated fruit, producing fruit. And so I think that's important for us to understand, that what does it look like to produce fruit some 30, 60, 100 times? What does Jesus mean when he says the seed, the word, falls on good soil, and it does this? Now, first he explains that this is what it looks like in three other soils, and I'm just going to kind of review that real quick so we can understand what the first soil, the good soil is, because this is kind of necessary. He says that because unless you're an incompetent farmer, your goal is to throw seed on good soil. It's not like the guy, when Jesus is telling this parable, is just out there going, hey, let's throw some over there, let's throw some over there. Unless you're an idiot, you're trying to throw it in good soil. And that's what he's trying to do. And so he's producing, but some, as we're casting it, some of it's going to fall in these different places. Now this one, the first soil, we use the story of the Pharisees, and it basically means your life is completely unaffected by Jesus, by his word, by the truth. If this is you, you're probably not sitting in church today, because somehow this has affected your life, that you're sitting in this church. Maybe you're watching at home. Maybe they came earlier today. You have somehow been affected by this. So this probably isn't describing you, but you might know somebody. How many times have you tried to tell them about Jesus and they're just completely unaffected by it? They have rejected it. Some of you have kids who have completely rejected Jesus. The Pharisees have completely rejected Jesus. After he did a miracle, their response was, how do we kill this guy? So it's not like this doesn't happen, but your life is completely unaffected by Jesus and the truth of the gospel. You can think of people in your life right now where that is true. And so that seed has been falling on hard soil. And it is difficult for you to kind of break that soil up. That's something the Holy Spirit has to do in their lives. We just got to keep sowing the seed. Be faithful to that sowing the seed. Because when you're sowing it, what if it lands on that good soil and produces something? So we've been talking about that as a church. We're called to do it, but it's also happening in our lives as well. And so he said, that's the first soil. The second soil is opposition. This could be opposition like, you know, Peter and John got thrown in jail, taken before the Pharisees because of preaching the gospel. Paul, he's experienced that. He's in prison because of preaching the gospel. This is external forces, external opposition, where it gets a root. You know, it starts, that's what Jesus says, but the heat from the sun just burns it up. These are people that hear it. It didn't land on that hard soil. It actually rooted. It started growing. But you can think of those people where they've walked away from Jesus. Now, maybe we're not being thrown in jail, but we looked at this. I mean, there are followers of Jesus being tossed in jail and worse today. But we kind of looked at this as it becoming more difficult to follow Jesus in your own family. Like, because you live this way, because you love the Lord, your own family doesn't maybe speak to you, doesn't hang out with you, thinks there's an issue with you. Maybe it's your friends. Maybe it's at work. Maybe you've just gone through something difficult in life and you just said, it's not worth it. If you're sitting here today, it's probably not you, but maybe you've thought that. Well, Jesus says this is that kind of soil where it just, it roots a little bit, opposition comes, and then we start walking away from Jesus. Bad things happen. We say, why God this? Why God that? Why God that? And then we just walk away from Jesus. He says this is going to happen. That's what Jesus is telling the disciples. And I probably, if I asked you, you could name somebody in your life where this has happened to. And so the third soil, Jesus says, is the soil that this is takes root and it starts growing. And as I said last week, this is, to me, the biggest deal and the biggest problem we have within the American church, which is it's growing, but it's producing nothing. And we use some other parables Jesus shared, and we use that word fruit. And Jesus pointed out to that fig tree, hey, we planted the fig tree. It's produced zero in 3 years. Let's cut it down and burn it up. It's just taken up the soil. Jesus is talking about people. Now, this is talking to people in the church that have produced nothing. And that doesn't just mean there's like 27 disciples that are in the church or in the family of God simply because I've told them. There's more to it than that, and that's what we're going to explore today. But Jesus is talking to people who hear the word and nothing happens in their life. Their life is not changed. They get distracted. And it's really easy. I'd be sitting in my office. This happens all the time. I'm trying to come up with this message and my phone will ding. I get a text message. I'll get a WhatsApp message. Facebook will say, hey, somebody just contacted you. Or there's an alert. My inbox says, ding, you've got a new email. We get so distracted by life. We forget what we're supposed to be doing as far as being a disciple who makes disciples. The third soil is it's growing. It's just not producing anything. And this third soil is why the American church is in decline. Because we're not making disciples who make disciples. We've got people who know it's good to go to church. It's a good thing to go there, but nothing in their life reflects anything of discipleship. And so I want to be really specific about what it means that Jesus says, but some of that seed is going to fall on good soil. My prayer is that's what's happening when I hear the word. My prayer is that's who we are as a church. My prayer is that's what we start doing and churches in our area start doing as we cast that seed in our community. That they hear it, they accept it, and produce a crop, produce fruit, some 30, 60, some 100 times. What was sown. Now that's up to God. We're supposed to be faithful in sowing the seed. God's the one who produces all of it. Just like farmers now, all you do is put it in the ground and you just hope it grows. You've got no control. You can do things to help it grow. That's what we do as a church. But the growth, the bounty, the crop itself is up to God. So the example is 30, 60, 100 times. I don't want to get caught up in the numbers. It's showing that there are varying results. That's true. I can point to you from people that have been walking with the Lord a long time And I can just point to a whole slew of people that are in the church because of that person's life. That's wonderful. But I can point to that person and say, they just live faithfully, and their family's just following the Lord. They're a wonderful family. They just love Jesus. The point is that it's producing something. The results are up to God, and some commentators think maybe Jesus employed it as just there were three bad soils. Remember, the birds came and ate it up, the rocky soil, the thorny soil, and now there's three good soils, the kind of compare and contrast thing. So don't get caught on the 30, 60, 100 times. What's being conveyed in the parable for Jesus is that this is normal. The multiplying is going to be happening. That the normal thing that happens when you drop a seed in the ground is that it grows and it produces something. Like we talked about, it'd be kind of annoying if it's growing and it's producing nothing. Why would we keep caring for it? Jesus says, cut it down and throw it into the fire. The actual grammar in the Greek itself is conveying that it's doing something. The seed that fell on the hard soil, the rocky soil, and the thorny soil is kind of like past tense. Something's happened to it. The other soil, it's like this is multiplying. Like you plant the seed, it grows, and now I've got 30 seeds to plant. I got this whole crop. Now I'm going to cast those, and now I got 60. Multiplication is what Jesus is thinking here. Some of the imagery in the New Testament, some of the imagery Jesus uses is a vineyard. And when they plant grapes or olives, it's not like you get one. When you go to the grocery store, do you buy one grape? No, you buy a bunch of grapes because that's how they grow. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He produces in bunches. That's the expectation of this growth. And it doesn't matter whether it's 30, 60, 100. The point is that it's producing something of value. If that stalk is producing, let's just use a tree maybe, is producing fruit, and you get 30 pieces of fruit of it, that's great. Maybe this one's producing 60. Wonderful. You're not cutting it down and getting rid of it because it's producing something. The point is that something of value is coming as a result of this, and Jesus is basically making the point. Obviously, we've been doing this since day one of the sermon series. He's talking about our lives in response to him and to his teaching and to his word. So I want to be super specific about what producing fruit equals. Okay, I want to be that 30, 60, 100 times fruit, Ted. What does it look like in my life to produce this fruit? So here's what I think Jesus means when he says that it's going to produce fruit when the word is being sown. The first passage that I thought of when I was looking how to define this was in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. This is the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, kind of reminds me of whoever has ears, let them hear. Jesus says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine puts them into practice. And then, of course, we have the story of the wise man building his house on the rock. That's your life. What are you building it on? And the foolish man building it on sand. That's your life. What are you building it on? So when Jesus says, when this seed falls on good soil, I believe this is what he means. You hear the word and you put it into practice. And when you do that, your lifestyle becomes one of a disciple of Jesus. So think of all over the Gospels, everything Jesus is saying, and we've kind of enlarged that all over the New Testament, all over the Old Testament, everything the Word is saying. Are you hearing the Word and then putting it into practice? Because Jesus says the foolish person hears it and it does nothing to them, and they just build on sand. The wise person hears this and puts it into practice. And when they do that, they're going to produce fruit. And here's what I think that looks like. If you look in Matthew's gospel, and it's in the other gospels as well, when Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Okay, so here's Jesus' word. What would it look like for me to put this word, what Jesus is teaching, his teaching, into practice? So producing fruit equals loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Well, how do you do that? Again, I want to be as specific and as applicable as I can. I think Jesus is talking about our relationship with God. I think that's pretty clear. And loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is the prioritization of God. So putting Jesus' teaching into practice says, I'm going to do that. I'm going to love God with everything I got. Now, practice doesn't mean you do it perfectly, but it means it's your lifestyle. If you are trying to get better at a sport, you don't just show up and just play. You practice first. And that becomes like your lifestyle. So a bunch of kids are in baseball right now. I played baseball. When we didn't have a game, we were at practice all the time. And then you have some extra Saturday batting practice. If you want to show up, you're struggling, go to Saturday morning batting practice. I remember I had a bunch of errors in a baseball game. We had a grass infield. I played shortstop. And the next day, the coach hit me like 150 ground balls at that spot just to practice, to get better in it, so that I could just naturally do it. That's all we're talking about here. A lifestyle, a commitment to practicing loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Here's what I think it looks like. It's really easy. How much time do you spend with God in His Word? If you want to follow Jesus, if you want to be a disciple, how do we know what that looks like? In His Word. How much time do you spend with the Lord in prayer? Again, this is the relationship piece. Kind of like, how much time do you spend with your friend, with your spouse? The conversations you have is what builds and strengthens your relationship, the time spent together. It is the same with the Lord in prayer. How much time are you spending with God's people? How much of a commitment have you made to growing together? We do Bible studies, life group, connection groups. We do all kinds of things, obviously Sunday morning worship gatherings, all kinds of things to say, this is important to show God that I love you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's what producing fruit equals. Now, I want us to get the understanding that this is a lifestyle. It's a commitment to it. That's what I think Jesus was saying. It's something that we've got to practice. We're not perfect at it. Even when you play the game, you might have an error. That's what they call it in baseball. Doesn't matter how hard you practice. Sometimes you miss that ball. Even the pros do it. Thankfully, the guy in outfield, Phillies were playing the Nationals last night. I'm trying to get ready for this morning. I was getting distracted by the Phillies game. Professional player, who knows how many thousands or millions of dollars is getting played. Routine fly ball, he drops it. Now the Phillies went on to win, thank you. But the point is, even playing the game, you might drop it. So you can't look at the Christian life as a snapshot. So if you followed me around with your phone, let's say you just followed me for like 2 weeks or a month, whatever, and you just took a snapshot, and you saw a snapshot of me going like, and my wife was right there. But I was really telling her a story, but it looks like I'm about to yell at her. If you just take a snapshot of my life, you'd be able to say, well, look at Ted. Is he really following Jesus? Is that his lifestyle? That's not how I want you to think about this. What I want you to think about is, let's just say I let you take your phone and video me for an entire month. You got to make a documentary about the day in the life of Ted Rathman. Now, it'd be super boring. It wouldn't be a lot of fun. You'd probably be like, this dude's the pastor of the church. He's weird. I'm sure that you'd come to that conclusion. But what I'd want you to know, or what I want you to see, is this part of Ted's life? Is this his lifestyle? It's clear to me, after a month of walking around with Ted, videoing him, doing this documentary, he's in the Word. He's praying. He's spending time with God's people trying to grow. I need that too. I can't just do this and stand up here in front of you and preach it. I need this in my own life. Is this my lifestyle? If it's not, it's going to be really hard to produce fruit. Because if I take what Jesus is saying and put his teachings into practice in order that I might produce fruit, then this is the kind of thing that's going to happen in my life. If I had the chance to follow you around. what would I conclude from following you around for a month? Now, maybe you're new at this and you're just trying to figure it out. This hasn't been a part of your life. That's all right. The question is, are you practicing it? Are you trying to do it? Maybe you've had a busy week. That's okay. I know what that's like. That's why it's a video. It's not a snapshot. I'm not just taking a picture. Because we all know how pictures can be taken out of context and prove anything. But how about a month-long video of your life? What does your relationship with God look like? Apparently, Jesus says this is pretty important. Here's the evidence that I know fruit is being produced in this person's life. It is clear that Ted is making God a priority. And not because he preaches on a Sunday morning, but because God is a priority in his life. He's in his word. He's spending time in prayer. He's with God's people, seeking to grow and live this out. Again, that's all of us can do that. That is what is producing fruit look like. This doesn't have to be complicated. How much of your life, imagine somebody makes a documentary of a month, 6 months, whatever, what would it look like? Another thing, this is again, fruit, we're going off producing fruit. Scripture uses this language different places, here it is. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, or patience, some translations say, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So the fruit of what the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in my life is going to produce this. Okay, again, this is really trying to make this applicable here to all of our lives. Producing fruit equals those characteristics shape my life and my relationships. Now, if you really wanted to go deep on this, all you got to do is take that word love and do a study of it throughout the New Testament. What is the fruit of love look like? And is that what your life resembles? Is that what your relationships resemble? Because sometimes we think very individualistically. If I talk to your spouse, would they say, yes, Ted loves, shows joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control in my relationship with him? Is that the kind of person I am with my wife? Is that the kind of person you are with your children? Do they see that in your life? If you followed me around for an entire month or more, would you see these things as a part of who I am? Would you see these characteristics being displayed in my relationships with my coworkers, with the people that I coach baseball with, on the golf course, in my marriage, in my family, in my neighborhood? If I went into your house and I knocked on all your neighbors' doors, and I said, hey, just tell me what kind of person Ted is. What kind of person is he? What would they say? This is the fruit that Jesus is talking about. And so if we want to grow in this, and I've just talked about this with some other people, about what does it look like to grow in self-control? What does it look like to grow in patience? If I asked your spouse, what would I hear? If you asked Jess, she needs to have patience with me because I got to drive to Kutztown in like 30 minutes. And I've got like 30 more minutes of preaching to do. So I don't know how I'm going to put it all together. I'm kidding. I'm going to get out of here. But what kind of relationship do we have? I don't want us to think about this individualistically. That's what we kind of do. How do I treat you in this church? How do you treat each other? Producing fruit looks like life and relationships that exude love and joy. Even when I don't feel like loving this person, I'm willing to do it. Even when they've not shown me love, I'm willing to show them kindness. Even though they didn't ask for forgiveness and they didn't say sorry, I'm still willing to forgive them. Lastly, Jesus says to his disciples before he leaves, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Again, this is not just saying, hey, I want to get them to say a sinner's prayer. You've got to come to Jesus and confess him as Lord. But Jesus is once again, just like he did before, emphasizing, teaching them everything I've taught you and obeying them. So what does that look like? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I gave some examples. That's what it looks like to bear fruit for Jesus. What does it look like in your life? There, just reread the fruit of the Spirit. Do your own study on what it means to have joy, what it means to show patience, what it means to have self-control. Is that part of my life? Is that in my relationships? And now Jesus says, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Producing fruit equals you sharing the gospel and making disciples. This is the point. Is this happening in your family? What does producing fruit mean? It means that it's clear to my children that God is the number one priority in our lives. Are you doing that, mom and dad? Are you helping your grandchildren know that, grandma and grandpa? Being disciples who make disciples start in our family. And so in Ted's family, you don't see my wife and children here because they came to early service. Because we are saying, look, a part of who we are is being with God's people on Sunday. When I played soccer and we had soccer games, my parents went to church first. We ate lunch in the car and almost puked our guts out on the soccer field. But hey, it was for Jesus, so we were supposed to be okay with that. They were just trying to tell us, this is who we are. And they only have, I only have so much influence over my children for so long. But I want to make it abundantly clear that the number one goal that I have for you is to love Jesus with everything you are. And they can at least, did my parents do it perfectly? No. But I can at least point to them and say, now those two people love Jesus a lot. And it was clear my whole life growing up. Do your kids see that in your life? Do our families show that to the people around us? Is that something that we emphasize? It's the producing fruit part. It's not difficult to know what to do. It is difficult to sometimes put it into practice. Are you walking along somebody in church? Can you point to somebody in this church that you are investing in? A relationship that you've started that said, hey, I'm going to put my arm around you and I just want to walk with you a little bit and help you know how to be a disciple and what that looks like. Did someone do that in your life? And if the answer is no, now you've got an opportunity to do it in somebody else's life. So this disciples making disciples thing I'm talking about is not just some emphasis. I want you to be able to point to that person and say, I helped that person grow. And look at them. Now they're talking to other people about Jesus. Look at their family. It's clear that they love the Lord. Can you point to somebody in this church that you're doing that for? Or somebody that's doing it in your life? This fall, we're going to be very intentional about that. And if you need that, we're going to offer that. And if you're somebody that can do it, I'm going to ask you to step up and start doing that in somebody's life. If we're going to see the church do something, it's going to be because we're willing to put the time and energy into investing in somebody else's life. That will produce fruit. I guarantee you, it will produce fruit. Are you doing this in someone's life that doesn't know Jesus? In your neighborhood? In your family? At work? Golf course? Sports field? Wherever. That passage that says, go into all the world and make disciples, it literally is translated, as you are going, make disciples. Tyler put up on the screen here, wherever you go, make disciples. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to be about. So producing fruit is as simple as you walking alongside somebody, saying, hey, I want to help you know what it means to follow Jesus. You being willing to say, I need some help. I want to practice more. That's only how you get better. I didn't get really great at being a shortstop in baseball because I just showed up one day. It actually started when I was 10, and it kept on going. Now, the major leagues doesn't know what they're doing. They looked over me for some reason, but God had different plans. It's about saying, hey, I could use the help. So producing fruit, this is what it looks like. And my prayer is, as we close here, my prayer is that this is who we are as Grace Church. That you can look back to 2024 and you can say, that's when it started in my life. That you can look back 2 years, 3 years from now and say, hey, I really poured into that guy at church, that girl at church, and they are just killing it. They're doing such a great job. I'm so proud of them. Their family is so different. You can look back at your life and say, man, I used to get angry at the slightest thing. But God has just given me this patience. God has given me this gentleness. God has replaced all that with joy because I'm willing to put all this stuff into practice. If we do that, we can leave the growth up to God 30, 60, 100 times. Doesn't matter how much, it's all producing something of value. My prayer is that we start seeing evidence all over the place that God is doing this in our lives, that he's doing it in your life, and that you will walk along somebody and do it in their life. And that we will meet somebody at coffee and worship this summer, and they'll stand up front here and say, I was nowhere with Jesus. And then someone decided to spend the time telling me about the Lord. And that's why I'm here. And I want to figure out how to give my whole life to him. That's who we are. That's what we're about. But it starts with each one of us. So if God's going to be producing fruit in your life, if you're going to start seeing evidence of that, I've listed some things out, and we're going to talk about some more of those things throughout the summer and into the fall. So we can be real intentional about making this happen. That we can actually start seeing evidence all over the place of God doing it. Let's pray. God, thank you for the opportunity to just open your word and share it as a church. God, and that we would be people that have good soil, and that we would become more and more like Jesus. I know I say that, but God, I believe that. Discipleship is really about Christ-likeness. The more we become like Jesus, the more we look like disciples, the more we're doing what Jesus has called us to do. And so, Lord, as we've now ended this sermon series in the parable of the soils, God, I pray that we would be people of good soil. God, that you would start producing a crop, producing the fruit in our lives that we've listed out, Lord, that we would be able to look back a month, 6 months, a couple years from now, and say, God, you did an amazing work in my life. And man, I've been just on fire for Jesus. Lord, if we actually want to see revival, that's what it's going to take. And I pray that we would. God, I pray that we would just start seeing evidence all over the place, here, there, that person's life, that family's life, of Jesus becoming number one in their life and being sold out for him. God, I know that's going to transform families, communities. It'll transform an entire state, an entire country. And I'm dreaming big, Lord. I believe you can do it, and I pray you would start with us here in this church. Help us to be disciples who produce disciples and honor you through that. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.